If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
We made it. We're on. It's the Daily Show of something or other. I'm back and Mike's gone, and we're going to talk about our favorite TV shows and movies and cartoon characters and
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
Whatever else we can think of. Action figures? We can talk about action figures.
We can talk about action figures.
we're going to talk about Alien Earth, because Alien Earth completed its first season.
It's the most important thing happening right now on the entire planet, Alien Earth. Literally nothing else matters other than the conclusion to Alien Earth. And not just the conclusion, the music used in the final scene.
Oh, I fell off hard. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
This is the problem. This is what the problem of, like, all right, so you've got somebody who's the right age, but it's a girl. So you end up, you know, the final song was fucking Pearl Jam. And it was a song that wasn't from 10, so I don't know it or care for it. It's like, no, Pearl Jam has one album, and everything else they've done, is, besides Better Man, is just like not worth listening to, unless you're a dumb girl. And she's a dumb girl, and she's like, oh, this is like a heavy Pearl Jam song. I was like, no, that doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a heavy Pearl Jam song, except for like, what the fuck is it, world? Or I guess Once is a heavy Pearl Jam song, sort of. They could have played Once.
I just realized that this Rightoid that was reviewing, I don't even know his Rightoid. He was just an idiot. He's reviewing Alien Earth, and he has stolen a take from our Twitter conversation.
Oh, good.
I pointed out.
That's funny.
What a fag.
What a jerk. Well, I just can't believe. One of the things you got to do is, like, so you drug up. Like, I hadn't seen anything. I didn't really. Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Showa on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed. And we need you to join our ranks and support our programming, as we are 100% listener-funded. There are no advertisers. There are no mega donors. There is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can use your credit card. Yes, credit card, for instant access with auto-recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz. You seen anybody complaining about Alien Earth? Like in the usual places where I get stupid content suggested to me? Like I didn't see Nerdrotic complaining. I didn't see Critical Drinker. I didn't see any of the normal YouTube morons complaining about it. So I just figured, like, okay, either nobody cares or it's actually just good. Which I was glad to see, because the worst thing you can really do is consume any content after the Rightoids have gotten a hold of it and done their shtick with it. Because they actually don't believe this stuff. They just make it up. So this guy has a review that says Alien Earth has a girl boss problem and Wendy is a Mary Sue. And it's just not true. But I could tell, watch, I could see why they would say that, because there's a girl in it. Like the main character, I'm sorry, the main protagonist is female. So that means
it just makes me wonder if that person would they sit there and watch something like Ghost in the Shell and be like, Ghost in the Shell has a girl boss problem?
Probably, if that didn't have like a that's a very old anime, right? Ghost in the Shell goes back like 30 years, doesn't it?
It's a very old classic anime. Yeah, yeah. It came out in, I think, 1995.
Yeah, so if they're seeing it for the first time as like a Zoomer Rightoid, they would probably say it's a girl boss thing. They would just have to because they're so sick and tired of seeing like Zendaya and stuff. But the take's usually wrong, which is why it was like really funny. Was it last spring? I can't remember when it was. Whenever Marvel or whenever Disney put out that Star Wars Acolyte series, and everybody jumped all over it for a decent reason. Like I don't like it's. First of all, it's like jokes on you. You're watching Star Wars. Of course, they made a series about like a coven of like lesbian black witches that do magic with the Force. And then Not that that's like the worst idea ever. It's just that, like, the presentation of, like, this is what you want to watch. Like, if you're a white, politically aware, somewhat racially aware male, like, watching a show that's all about, like, weird alien niggers, like, I don't want to watch that. But it's not like the idea they had for it was bad. And it was funny to see, like, Rich Evans and Mike Stoklasa and Jay Bauman come in and be like, it's fine. Like, you guys are out of your mind. Like, the guys that pioneered shitting on Star Wars are like, what are you people doing? And then they all struck back like, pretending like you're too above the controversy to comment on it, I think was the critical drinker guy. And so that was really fun. But it teaches you a good lesson. It's like, you might actually like content if you don't listen to Rightoids talking about it. Rightoids can just, because I don't want to watch content like, I don't want to be thinking about Rightoids at all. Like, I don't want to be trying to spite Rightoids if I'm like, because we're talking about like it's after dinner. I've just, you know, just ate like 1,000 calories, so I have enough energy to sit on the couch and watch TV for an hour before I go to bed. You know what I mean? Gotta have a big meal if I'm going to sit around on my ass for a while and then go to sleep. You know, work is over, except for unless I start reading Twitter and it gives me ideas to think about for a show. But it's like, if I just want to watch something for an hour. I don't need to be watching something with, like, Critical Drinker's hot take in mind. Or feminism, like, in, what's a good word for it? Like, I don't know, like the weird, like how like Nerd Roddick feels threatened by whatever female character in this movie is. Like, I don't need to be like thinking about that while I'm watching it. So, in that case,
that's the thing. I don't like the extremely stupid type of critique that they do, which is very checklist. Like, what kind of category can I just put this person into, this character? I'm gonna talk about archetype. That's what this Eric Kane guy does. Is he like talks about the archetype? Yeah. Situation like, well, that's a Mary Sue. Oh, they're passing around the idiot ball. I'm like, kind of just glossing over the actual themes and motifs of the show completely here. Like,
I don't remember anyone really being basically it's alien, so you have to have a little bit of an alien ball, or I mean an idiot ball, alien ball, that's funny, because like the thing has to get loose and has to start killing people, otherwise we're not doing an alien. The difference here is, what's funny is, What helps Alien as a streaming series is usually what hurts other streaming series. Like, it's like the opposite thing. Like, Alien is usually, we have a slasher film, we can set up maybe a dozen tops of like one-dimensional characters you barely care about, so we can kill all of them except for maybe one or two that might have a second dimension to them and a motivation beyond just like, I work here. You know, usually that's what it is. So with this, it's like, instead of just having the same thing, but we're going to stretch it out for 8 hours. Like, you actually have time to develop characters. You actually have time to give them motivation and meaning, and like, there's an emotional attachment to several characters in this thing for me, which is like, that's, if this was a 2-hour story about aliens landing on Earth, you wouldn't be able to do that, because what's that?
It is very overstuffed. But it kind of gets away with it. Maybe it's because whenever I was growing up, I read a lot of the Alien comic books and stuff. So for me, this show was just, it felt like one of the comic books.
Yeah.
Maybe endeared it to me.
I never read them, but that makes sense. They actually have time to tell stories. I'm just like, all right, here's our space boat. Here's our Marines. Here's our alien. Everybody dies. And then somehow a facehugger survives, and that sets up fucking a sequel if we feel like it, you know?
Yeah. Because it was kind of wacky. It was doing stuff that was very different in the actual film franchise. Tonally, it's not as dark as the films. It felt more in line with the comics, actually. So yeah, maybe that's what endeared it to me a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this.
I've got this. I got this review open. Alien Earth has a girl boss problem, and Wendy is a Mary Sue. This is gonna be like a media literacy issue we're gonna have here. So that's Wendy. Wendy in Alien Earth, in case you haven't seen it. We'll try not to spoil too much. She's a small child that had some kind of terminal illness, and this trillionaire that you're really supposed to hate, he's like a mini Elon Musk played by, it looks like Timothy Chalamet. He's not Timothy Chalamet. Like, who is that? It's like Timu Chalamet, you know.
Yeah, Timu Chalamet.
Timu Chalamet plays this trillionaire who owns, so there's not just Weyland-Yutani anymore. There are five gigantic corporations that run all of Earth, and he's one of the other ones. I can't remember what it's called. Is it the Prodigy? Is he the Prodigy? Is that what the
Prodigy? I think
because he is.
Was the Prodigy a computer company at one point?
The Firestarter. Twisted Fire Start.
I mean, I know that they were banned. I could have sworn that Prodigy was like some sort of.
I think there was some. I think there is some kind of some kind of vaporware that I don't remember well enough. But yeah, so
no, that's from like 20 years ago, though. Forever ago.
So he developed a technology to take these dying children's consciousness, download them into a whatever, and put those consciousnesses, the digital consciousness, into synthetic beings, and she's the first one. She's the prototype, and she has, for whatever reason, she has some kind of ability to manipulate anything that's on the Prodigy network, which gets interesting. So she's also basically she's a magical being that's almost, she's invincible, basically, to a certain point. Not really, but. So I guess that's why this guy's identifying her as a girl boss, which is kind of obnoxious.
So the in-universe explanation for that is that this entire program is about trying to merge human consciousness with machines, right? It's very cyberpunk. The whole show's cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And he's doing this sort of like as a gamble to see if he can crack into some have one of these characters, one of these androids, these synths, these hybrids, whatever the fuck they are, have one of them be exceptional. Like, that's baked into the formula, is he's hoping that if he uses enough kids, somebody's going to come out as a genius like himself, right?
Okay.
Like, that's the whole idea. He's like trying to create like another savant because he's, you know, basically some kind of savant. So that explains why you have this character, right? Like, that kind of makes sense internally. And she's also older than the rest of them.
Yeah, she's the first one.
There's a bit of an in-universe explanation.
She's the prototype.
Yeah.
And she's the most amazing, and she's his favorite, and blah, 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 blah. But I mean, it's sort of glossed over as like they're trying to create immortality through this means. Like, it's basically you're doing the transhumanism. Like, here, like, upload your personality into this.
Well, that's the problem, I would say.
Yeah.
Is if you're coming at the show as like an alien show, as like, no, it's not an alien show, actually. This is a cyberpunk show.
With
aliens. It's got like an alien skin.
Yes. Yeah.
Because of the market branding. It's very much a cyberpunk show. I mean, it's weird to me. He starts comparing it. This reviewer compares it to Westworld. I'm like, why would you go there? It's obviously much closer to something like Ghost in the Shell, to the point where the last episode is called Ghost in the Machine. It's so obviously a reference to Ghost in the Shell.
Well, it's just so silly. Like, somebody says this is just like Westworld because, like, I'm an idiot, and that's the extent of media that I have seen that has robots in it. I've seen Westworld that has synthetic humans in it. This has synthetic. It's just like. I don't know. So he says, Wendy Alas's alien's very own Mary Sue. We can compare her to the franchise's first protagonist, Ellen Ripley, to drive this point home.
I wish to God people would stop doing that.
People would probably get like mad at me, but like Ellen Ripley is a one-dimensional character. Like, she's just her motivation is to not get killed by her aliens, and eventually her motivation is to like. Not let the company keep making aliens, and eventually just gets killed by aliens and then brought back. It's just like, she's not, that's the problem. Like, this is the first, like, you can't compare characters to Ellen Ripley because she doesn't really have a character. She's like, her character is Final Girl. You know, the main protagonist in Alien is the Xenomorph. You want to see the Xenomorph. You like the Xenomorph. It's crazy. It's cool.
Well, in the first movie, she is just Final Girl. She's just like the survivor girl in the slasher film. There's really not a whole lot to her character.
No.
In the second movie, there's more going on under the hood because it's like we're doing a parallel. Like, she's got like motherly instincts towards Newt, and then she's fighting another alien mother that feels the same way towards its.
You don't care about Newt either because Newt is just the final girl from the movie you didn't see, where the aliens kill everyone in the settlement except for her.
Yeah.
So it's like it's the same thing.
Like, a series of final girls.
Yeah, it's like we just have girls that didn't die.
A series of final girls.
Yeah, it's a slasher film. So for those who do not know, Mary Sue is a character typically female in modern discourse, but I believe the term applies to both male and female characters. Ooh, that's a novelty take. So Mary Sue can be a dude. So you have a Mary dude who is good at everything without having to really try, and who everyone loves and looks up to just because.
It's more to it, though. The Mary Sue is if we're really going to be specific, it's a self-insert by the author. It's like a wish fulfillment fantasy for the author.
Whether it's they're getting their own sex fetish fantasies, or they're getting to set their self insert up to get vengeance against things that they don't like in real life. They can set up a one-dimensional threat and tear it down in some way, some miraculous way that people can look at and go, oh, I wish that would happen in real life. And usually it doesn't work. Usually it's kind of like, oh, it's the mark of just like poor writing. And it's just isn't here. This guy's a rightoid. This guy's an anti-woke idiot. He just sees people on TV. He just sees a girl on TV. He's like, oh, that's Mary Sue. Cause I don't like looking at women on TV. Cause I've got this Zoomer problem with me. Or he's probably not a Zoomer, but you know what I mean?
Like, he looks like he's a millennial. He looks like he's about our age.
Yeah. He just has that thing beaten into him that like, I'm tired of, which is sort of understandable. You know, like Ray, I guess she ended up being Rey Palpatine by the time they were done with her. Like Rey from Star Wars, Force, like she's Mary Sue. But that's more like she's not even like an author stand-in. She's just like, we just need like somebody who didn't understand what a protagonist for a Star Wars movie would be. It's like, let's make it a girl and she's just awesome. Let's just do it. Like that's more of a Mary Sue. Like there's no reason for her to be awesome. In this, like the girls, it's literally a super being. It's like this synthetic cyborg person.
Well, yeah. So there was part of this review where he kind of goes into this previous one, which I thought this is an example of a very, to me, a very stupid way of approaching this. In episode 6, when the hybrid synths, who we're constantly told are super intelligent, super strong, are all better than their human synth counterparts, awkwardly tries to put a tray of food inside the bug cell. And thanks to the eyeball sheep's quick thinking, is trapped in the cell, blah, blah. I'm not going to spoil this.
Right.
You can excuse this by saying he's just a kid, but then I have to ask, what are the rules for these hybrids exactly within the fiction? Because some of them act like complete idiots, but Wendy is constantly outsmarting everyone. Are they super intelligent, or are they just kids? The show never establishes any real parameters. Because they're characters. They're not supposed to follow like some sort of set of parameters. They're characters.
Man,
characters. Like, this is such a stupid, autistic way to look at it. Like, oh, every character in the show has, like, a skill sheet, and it looks like this one is not performing consistent with their skill sheet, because I thought their intelligence score was higher than this.
Well, I mean, even if you have a nice skill sheet, don't you occasionally roll a 1 and get fucked? Isn't that how those games work? Yeah. So, I mean, in that scene, like, that guy rolled a 1.
Well, it was also I have a deeper like opinion on that. Is the show is actually probably trying to say something about the idea that you can increase your intelligence, which is what this particular character was doing. He was like downloading information into his little brain unit, trying to become a scientist, right? Because he was obsessed with like becoming a scientist. Yeah, but he had no common sense because he was a kid. He had no experience of anything, so he may have had the intelligence as like a raw stat. But he did not have the common sense to employ said intelligence and did dumb shit.
Right.
Like he didn't know his own strength and he broke something in the lab and then he made an absolutely horrendous mistake later on. That makes sense.
But also
I'm picking up what the show's putting down there, you know.
It's a decent piece of storytelling that this one synthetic being, yeah, they're not all powerful, they're not invincible, and one that's not the main character met his demise. You know, it communicates to you that it's not a Mary. These things are not perfect. They can't just do whatever you want with them. They have limits. It's like, you know, and also like the creatures have to get out. So it facilitated creatures getting out too, which is the most important aspect of your alien franchise piece. Is like, okay, the creature got out, and how do they do it? Well, they tricked one of these cyborg people into fucking up. But just crying, yeah. I don't know. But it's just fun. It's more just like seeing how way these people cry about. I mean, that guy was. I mean. Is he mad because that was a male cyborg? Of course you wouldn't let one of the slitborgs go in there and get killed, right? It's got to be one of the males. One of the masculine males has to die. You know, I can just hear it in my head. It's like they're getting, it's like raging. It's like got the little pen light out in the theater. Well, it's not a theater, it's a TV show. You know, furiously writing down notes.
I was arguing with this guy online, and him and some other Spurgs, like me.
So you're arguing with this reviewer, this writer?
Yeah, like, with the fucking writer, because I gave him a bunch of shit about his review, and basically told him it was a consequence of the CinemaSins era.
Okay,
like because of CinemaSins, we have this sort of shit where you just like overly fixate on the idea of like plot holes, and I'm so fucking tired of having to hear about plot holes. Like, you know what? I don't even really care about plot holes. Everything has plot holes in it. Star Wars, tons of plot holes.
Nothing's perfect. I like to be left alone and not notice them.
Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi is completely contradicted by the events in the second Star Wars movie. It's proven to be a liar.
Because they didn't plan to make a second one. And then
they did plan for Darth Vader to be Luke's father.
And then they had to cope in the third one. Like, well, from what my point of view, from a certain point of view, Luke, what I told you wasn't a retcon. From a certain point of view, this is not a retcon.
From a point of view, it wasn't a retcon. Exactly. From a certain point of view, it wasn't a retcon. That entire trilogy is just fucking chock full of retcons and like changes they made halfway through the script writing.
Stop French kissing your sister, Luke.
So bad.
Oh, man.
But we didn't have CinemaSins back then, and we didn't have people constantly fixating on like plot holes and like the believability of what certain decisions in the military sector were doing, you know, like what was happening.
Oh, my God. Is this his video? This is him? The three biggest problems with alien Earth?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What a fucking faggot.
Unfortunately,
go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
I during the argument, I pointed out one of the big problems of the show, and then he incorporated that into his article.
Well, was that? Is it something spoiler? Well, whatever.
It's not a spoiler. It's the alien is probably the least scary monster in the thing, and it almost feels to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm being a little conspiratorial here. What's the guy's name? Noah something or other that's writing it? Not Noah Wiley. That's a completely different guy.
Oh, I don't remember. I didn't look at that.
Yeah, yeah. It almost feels like he is resentful that he has to make an alien show. So he's like, you know what?
That's weird.
I'm going to make the alien look kind of bad, and I'm going to make it completely not scary. That's going to be the least scary thing in here. It does have a couple of good scenes, but it's mostly not all that. It's especially not compared to the other monsters. Like there are some good ones in there, and the alien is not one of the.
Well, the alien slaughtered
monsters.
Like dozens of security people.
It did.
I mean, it is the usual thing, but it's kind of like we have time to do things that we haven't seen 6 million times. So let's not do too much xenomorph. I'm okay.
And I was okay with it because it's like I've seen the alien so much myself. That nothing it could do would be scary or intimidating to me anymore. It's just a thing in the world to me. It would be like seeing a deer in my yard.
Well, the glamour shot of like the chrome teeth with the saliva. It's like we've seen that so many times. Like,
yeah,
it's like it almost does. Yeah. It doesn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. And then he'll have like scenes of the thing like running around like fully lit, and of course it looks kind of goofy because it's based on a guy in a suit.
Yeah, it's a guy.
And I think that might have been slightly intentional because I noticed that with the other creatures, he's like not doing that so much. It's like they're shot in a more of a dark space. The cinematography is like used to emphasize how dangerous they are, and it doesn't really do that so much with Alien.
So anyway. He says here, ultimately, I want characters to be complex. I don't think you do, dude. You want characters to fit into a different set of archetypes that you feel more comfortable with as a Rhydoid. So he says,
he's a liar.
Yeah.
Because he goes on in one of these articles, he starts talking about Fargo, and he puts literally every character into one of four categories. That's how his approach to movie and TV critique works, is he just puts them into these boxes. And then he was criticizing this guy for coming along in Fargo and like upsetting the formula, like changing things around. It's like, are you autistic? Do you play with trains a lot?
Wow.
This sounds extremely autistic to me.
You're talking about Fargo TV? I don't think I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the series writer for Alien also worked on Fargo.
Oh, like 10 years ago, whenever that was. I don't remember when the last Fargo series was. It was a while
ago. There was some sort of series, and this is the same.
I just remember Bilbo Baggins was in it, like young Bilbo Baggins, and his last name was Nigerd, and the guy kept calling him nigger, and it was really funny.
It looks like a little nigger.
It's like, wow. That's from the old days. That's from the
Yeah. Here it is. It's in the article. In season 5 of Fargo, Holly, Holly is his last name. Noah Hawley. Not Noah Wiley, completely different.
Okay.
Holly abandoned pretty much all of his archetypes in the story format in favor of bundling the citizen with the hero. Dorothy Lyon, you see, already Holly was toying with the idea of using classic stories like Wizard of Oz to buttress his own. It's just much more blatant in Alien Earth's extended Peter Pan analogy.
That is true.
Anyway, so he's complaining that Noah Holly came along and changed the formula of Fargo and combined the protagonist in his particular season into like two of these categories at once, and you're not supposed to cross the streams and do that.
Wow.
It's like what level of a terminal autism?
I wish I could remember that series so I could comment on, but I don't. I just like what he's saying here. It's like, give genuinely good characters hard choices that put them in tight spots. Give us conflicted villains who do more than twirl mustaches or read at ominous passages from Peter Pan. Give us characters choices between breaking the moral code to save a loved one or sticking to their guns and losing something. I mean, he did all that.
They literally did that with the Indian character.
But here he goes, like, Prodigy is thus far.
That was the whole point.
Yeah, Prodigy thus far is
the whole point of that character. That drama between him and Moro.
My favorite part of this is, like, so you have this little Indian character. His name is, like, Armesh Singh or something like that. Arush Singh, that's his name. He tells the guy, and immediately he's gone out and he's found Arush Singh's mother. It's like, how'd you do that? There's like a billion people named Singh. How'd you find the right? But I guess he didn't have to really, but it was just kind of like, that was the first thing that popped
out. It really
like,
breaks my immersion to this black cyborg to be so smart.
Not even that. It's like, man. How many Singhs did you visit before you figure out you had the right one or not?
The nigger cyborg.
Yeah, the nigger cyborg. Well, that's the other thing, like, the other angle to look at Alien Earth to be mad at is the absolute, just like, full to the brim diversity we've got going on. I like how it does the thing, does the passive progressive, where it has diversity, but all the characters you actually care about are white. Yeah. You know, it's like everyone, all the diversity is in the side pieces, the people that like the semi-disposable.
The black character, yeah. He is actually he's a compelling character. He's great.
He's okay.
He's great.
He's an antagonist thug, and there's not much to him. They tried to give him some death, but I just didn't care for it. Like him having a little nigger daughter that he misses. I'm just like, I don't care.
I like what they did with them in the final episode too. The final episode was crazy. Yeah. It was like, all right, now pull the lighting levels down. Okay, we're really gonna go to town.
No, that's TV. Yeah, yeah. I've been watching another show with my wife, and she picked out Black Rabbit. It's a Netflix show with Jason Bateman and Jude Law, and it has like the same problem that Red Letter Media is always going on about. It's like, can you please turn up the dimmer? I can't see who's in the scene. I can't see where they are. Please, someone turn on a light. It's like, but it's, you know, it's good stuff. That's another show, though. It's good. I wonder what the badness in that show is. Like, what? I gotta find a rightoid complaining about Black Rabbit, because I've went to that blissfully unaware of anything that was happening. It's been a pleasant surprise. But again, it's like, it's New York City, and it's a bunch of rich people. Well, not that rich people, but there's a bunch of people that have some money. Was one really rich guy. You have like this big Jewish artist. You have like a Kanye West style like rapper nigger, and then you have like just people in New York that are brown and have a lot of money, like doing their stuff, and it's just annoying. If I could see people being, but it's realistic. It's like yeah, if you did a show about a New York City, like a famous, if you did a story about like the top like celebrity hangout restaurant in New York City, and everyone was white, I'd be like, hey, wait a second, this is a nice dream and all, but I don't think this is very. I'm breaking my immersion that I'm not being immersed in like darkness and crime in New York City. Like, there needs to be more brown people and faggots.
Yeah.
So
the darkness, yes. But yeah, they use the darkness correctly in the final episode, and they like drop the camera height, and suddenly the scents are like kind of scary. They got that dark vibe to them. Like I saw what they were doing there. I didn't mind. It's like it's employed correctly. It's not like the whole show is dark.
Yeah,
they just used it for the thematic effect towards the end there. Anyway, what the fuck were we talking about?
The Prodigy.
What about this bad film review about the characters not having to make hard choices, and we've got this one character that explicitly his entire subplot is about him having to make a bad moral, like a horrible moral choice to save his loved one.
Right.
That's in the fucking show. Did this guy watch the show?
The Prodigy thus far has been defined by its incompetence and the brash stupidity of its boy genius overlord. This is Timu Chalamet. This is intended as a critique of corporate power and arrogance, but it's not very interesting if every choice the corporation and its leader make are stupid and rash. It's like, yes, it does, because he's drunk on his own. He's a child prodigy trillionaire. He's not a child anymore, but he's drunk on his own. He thinks he's invincible. Like, this is a guy who, like, used espionage to create a situation where these these alien specimens happened to crash land on his island instead of Yutani, so he could steal them. Like, this man is filled with arrogance and not very good at like foresight and risk management. And so, yes, that's a theme. Like, there's no reason to, yeah. Like, it's like, what, how do you want your trillionaire overlord bad guy to be?
They have a saying among these tech bro circles about move fast and break things, which is exactly what this guy was doing. And it's like, how many Elon Musk rockets have you seen explode? I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
They constantly blow up rockets. Like, yeah, it's the whole point of this character is that he does not care. He's completely amoral. Mm. Doesn't care about the consequences of anything. He takes reckless actions. I mean, the very idea of like, I'm going to build these super powerful military level cyber like robots, these androids that are effectively unstoppable killing machines. And then I'm going to put the consciousness of a small child in there and see what happens.
Yeah.
Hope for the best.
What could go wrong?
I mean, that itself is a crazy thing to do, which, again, with this guy and his critique, it's like, you understand that the central character is consistently throughout the show doing this kind of stuff. Like, the very premise of it itself indicates a mind that is not quite
stable. If you pay attention, you get the sense the entire time that he is actually not the sole source of his success. He thinks he is, mm-hmm. right? There's a point where CC DeVille there, what's his name? Timothy Olyphant, who is another...
Timothy Olyphant. Great character.
Timothy Olyphant. Yeah,
Kirsch.
He says to him on communication, he says to him, you're mad right now. Don't be mad. Be smart. Like he's having some kind of, he's having one of his mustache twirling, you know, breakdowns about Weyland Yutani, and Kirsch is trying to be like, don't be mad. You're being mad right now. Don't be mad. Be smart. And it's like, and he doesn't listen to me, overrules him. So it's like, this guy's been managed by his own creations. Look, have helped him succeed.
Right. Cause here's some of the great subtext, which I thought was great, was that, so this guy, he's all about wanting to create this superior, hybrid life form that's going to be able to outcompete AI. It's going to be like better than AI because the AI like sense are just not good enough for him. But you look at Kirsch and you're like, actually, dude, it looks like you succeeded. It looks like Kirsch is what you were looking for, but that just wasn't enough for you because Kirsch is quite clearly like advanced beyond anyone else, and he has like his own sort of like motivations. He does indeed appear to be like a conscious like.
He's the most rational being in the whole thing.
Yeah, self-aware android, yeah.
But that's probably boring. That's probably boring to what's his face. You
know? He doesn't get taken over.
Right.
Oh, shit. There's my connection. I was going to say that so the Wendy is able to take over the other synth, but she doesn't ever take over Kirsch. Maybe that's because he actually is like fully autonomous. Maybe that's what's happening here. Anyway, I don't know. I thought that... Thematically, the show is quite consistent on the major antagonist and his motivations. I didn't see any issues there. It all made sense to me. And then on the flip side, you've got like Weyland Yutani, so you have like this hereditary like dynasty of CEOs like running it.
And suddenly they're not the only company on the planet anymore. Like somebody finally, sci-fi had to catch up with like the 80s are over. The Japanese the Japanese economy went into decline, and they're not taking over the world anymore. Yep. So we could pull back on Leyland Yutani being the only corporation in the world.
Yeah, but we're still going to have our protagonist just be the major from Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah,
we're still going to do that. Thanks, Japanese.
So is this stuff, actually? So is this stuff in the in his other review like too spoilery? As he says, what is this? The Alien Earth finale was another crushing disappointment, far worse than we expected. Like, what? Is this guy just work for Paramount? Is that why he's writing this? Is like, he just needs to hate on because I guess it's a Disney production. He's like, no, this sucks. Subscribe to Paramount Plus instead. We have South Park.
Are they still on a hiatus? I thought that the last episode got canceled.
They pulled whatever episode they were. I don't know what they pulled one episode. They decided not to. They claimed that they didn't finish it in time, but I think everybody knows that like they probably did something that was. That somebody the network thought was too far with Charlie Kirk, because I think they had turned Eric Cartman into Charlie Kirk.
They did, yeah. No, it was eerie. I saw that episode. Yeah, no, they literally had him be, Charlie Kirk. He was like dressed the same and everything.
So clearly they were doing a parody. So like, what do you do after you've satirized Charlie Kirk with your obnoxious character and then he gets assassinated? Like, what do you do? I guess you pull your episode and you think about what to go do. You probably, because they probably have to rewrite, they probably have to rewrite their entire like idea for their season arc.
Because
they don't just make, they don't just make like one episode of South Park anymore. They create an arc and they do runners. Like they have, you know, like PC Principal and all those people. So I'm sure they had like an entire multi-episode run of Cartman and Charlie Kirk, and now he's, you know.
Holy shit, what if they were actually edgy and they had Cartman get his head blown off? Oh my god.
I doubt they did that. They're like old and gay now. Like,
they wouldn't I know they wouldn't do that, but the earlier episodes, they just might. Or at least have Kenny like playing as Charlie Kirk, and then he gets killed.
Well, that's what I saw.
What
like,
happened to that?
All the angry... Oh my god, they killed Kenny. They stopped doing that season six, I think. They did a really great episode where they tackled the issue of stem cell research and abortion, and they made Kenny get like a rare like blood disease, and he needed stem cells to survive. But abortion was illegal right now, so they couldn't get it, and they just had him like they had him die of this blood disorder, and it was like super sad. And then they just didn't do the gag anymore. They're like, all right, he's really dead now. Then he just comes back. After like they do a season where he's dead and they keep kind of replace like who's going to be our fourth friend, and that's where you get Butters and Tweak and all these other side characters that get a bigger role, and then they just have him reappear one day and they just don't acknowledge it. Like, oh, hi Kenny, where have you been? So they just got sick of their own joke and stopped doing it. But yeah, oh my god, they killed Charlie would have been funny. You bastards.
Oh my god, they killed Charlie.
Oh my god, they killed Charlie. You bastards. It was like the rightoid version. Like, oh my god, Israel killed Charlie. You bastards. So, yeah, the people are still kicking that around pretty hard. People really want it to be Israel for some reason.
It permeates, like, it's permeated normie space to the point that, like, secondhand, I have to get all of this from my wife. Like, oh, you think Israel did it? And I'm like, no, I don't think Israel did it. That doesn't make any sense. Also, there are other people they would kill before they get around to Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, I've been reading some of our commenters, and because you know we have I would rather read our commenters because our commenters will be smarter than people elsewhere about this stuff. So it's sort of just been boiled down to you have to be making the assumption that Israel needed to just kill somebody. So why not Charlie Kirk? It's like, well, what if you take the assumption that I do, there's like, well, they don't have to assassinate anybody in American politics to make anything happen. Like, Israel has full, you know, America is a total Jewish victory. They already have this entire country and do whatever they want with it. They don't need to have a casus pork belly out of something to like get what they want. Yeah. Like, they do whatever they want. So the assumption that I would have to find the exact wording. It was just very awkward. It read like somebody who doesn't want to let the possibility go. And I understand it is because you want to be able to say like, yeah, Israel is evil. Look what it did. But it's like, you have no evidence that they did it. And your narrative is so paper thin that you're basically leaning on, well, why wouldn't they? It would make the most sense they killed Charlie, because it makes no sense that they killed Charlie. Like, they killed their top guy. And I'm just like, yeah, but don't you see what you're doing now? Like, now you're just backed up against the wall where it's time to just let things go. I'm actually like tempted to like talk to Judicial Nosificator because he thinks like I've laid out all the evidence, and it's like the evidence is like somebody made some stuff up, and look at this fold in his shirt. Like, there was a squib in his shirt. It's like, yeah, but the blood, when you have a squib, blood squirts out of your shirt. We clearly watched a hole open in his neck and blood fell out. That's not a squib. That's a hole in his neck. And so it's like, there's no, I don't know. It's just hard. But just out of curiosity, well, I almost want to hear. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
He's still alive? He's still alive? Charlie Kirk is still alive then?
I don't know. No one can really, because it's not true and it's retarded, no one can really give you anything that's not retarded. No one can give you a point to it, but they just want it. They just want it. And it is, I have to admit, it is kind of cool that Israel like has such bad PR with normies right now that they're willing to be like, do you think he did it? It's just,
Right. I don't know. It's true that I think that Israel would potentially do something like that. I don't think that happened in this particular case. I think they, if they wanted to, yeah, sure, they would. They'd probably do an assassination.
Sure.
But the list of people that they would assassinate would not have Charlie Kirk anywhere on it. It would be certain other individuals I'm thinking of right now that they would whack first. That would make way more sense.
Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah, right. That guy.
Zendaya.
Zendaya. Israel did it.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would they kill their own weird race mix off-putting actors? Because it makes the least sense possible. Now we can start putting masculine men in films again. That way all the rightoids will have something to jerk it to. Like, oh, I'm so right winger. I don't have to look at Twink Chalamet anymore. I want to look at a big beefy man. Please don't isolate that. I was making fun of rightoids. Oh, so that was the other thing. So
I mean, that's what I was thinking about too. It's like, what if the lead protagonist in the show had just been a white dude? I mean, that would have been fine, right?
What, an alien?
We'd be calling her Mirrors. Yeah, an alien Earth. It'd just be, all right, well, the lead protagonist is really cool.
Well, if you're enjoying what you're hearing, please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Being a girl, she has an extra layer of vulnerability that if it was a male character, you would have to be kind of half a fag, right? Like her brother, who's the other character you care about, he's sort of a little bit half a fag. He's not much of a tough guy. He's not very assertive. And he's, you know, in his defense, he's like under the thumb of these massive corporate struggles. He can't really, his destiny is not really his own. But like if you took away her female vulnerability, you would have less, I don't know, you have to feel like you would connect with the character less.
What if he was like her big sister and she was a dude?
I just mean, if she was a dude and she was just like this invincible, like hacker robot that's like super strong.
Yeah, that would not work. That would not work.
Like, he's going to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Imagine it's like the T-800 or whatever. This is down here. I can talk to the xenomorphs. I go and I talk to them. And they will kill you because I said so. Watch out for the eyeball monster. Get out. Like it's a completely different show at that point.
It would be because the whole point is like the male character, her brother, still thinks of her as like his little sister.
His little baby sister. And you kind of look at her and see, it's because of the actress they chose, I guess. Actor is like a real industry term. Like we don't have actresses in SAG or, right? They're all, everyone's an actor. But like who they chose, she has really big eyes. She's really, really, you know, she's cute. She looks, she's still, I don't know how old she is, but she still looks like a child to some extent. Because looking at streaming TV lately, I think everyone's just on Ozempic all the time or cocaine. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No one has any body fat and it's kind of annoying because this is America and we all have body fat. But, because I saw like in that other show, like Jason Bateman takes his shirt off and it's like, oh my God, get him a sandwich. Like everyone looks like they're hurting on the Ozempic train. But yeah, I think the female vulnerability, because she's a little girl who's like dying of cancer or something is. And you never lose sight of that. Like she's a tragic, frail, weak little thing who's now been put into this like cybernetic miracle of a body. Who can, like, suddenly she has all the will to power that you could ever imagine. She could do almost anything, and she had.
Well, I mean, yet again, I'm surprised that he constantly goes to these other shows. This dude's doing reviews.
Yeah.
Because she actually is also extremely reminiscent of Battle Angel Alita. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
I never heard of that, no.
It's the character design is very similar, and was it the first episode of Alien Earth where she has, like, the sword? There's a scene where she's got a sword, some sort of like edged weapon. I thought it was like a direct reference to Battle Angel Alita. I thought that's where they were going with that.
Is that anime?
Her haircut and,
is that more anime?
Well, it's based on an anime. There is a live action movie that has, they did a very odd thing with the CGI. They gave her like these overly big eyes. So she has sort of like anime eyes, but it's live action. Actually, I kind of like that movie because it is a very cyberpunk style film. I thought it wasn't too bad. I kind of like Alita Battle Angel. You can check it out. It's streaming everywhere. But anyway, this guy would probably watch that movie and conclude that she was not a Mary Sue, because there is a scene where she gets destroyed and has to be put into
the body. Well, he'd just call her a Mary Sue anyway. That's what we do. We just call her Mary Sue.
But she did get beat at one point and then had to upgrade. So that's character development, right? Isn't it kind of funny? It's like there's also a formulaic demand for the character development. Like, well, you're supposed to lose, and then you're supposed to go through some extended training montage, and then come back stronger than you were before, and then you beat the bad guy. That's the formula you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to just control the bad guy using the sound of your voice.
I guess Nerdrotic doesn't like Alien Earth.
No, of course not.
Well, he's got a review for every single episode, and then he has an overall review where he's got like the main character, her, like her eyes are wonky, like, you know, they do the googly eyes thing.
Oh, sweet.
And it says Alien Earth is absolute Disney content, made to be watched while on the phone or a tablet, canceling Disney Plus. RIP Fox and Hulu.
Nah, it's got too much going on to be on your phone.
When did he make this? He made this on August 17th. So I guess, is that when it just premiered? I think so, right?
Yeah.
So he just had no idea. He just basically, like, my brand is, I go on and I trash franchise stuff, which isn't the worst thing in the world. But that's a swing and a miss for me, pal. Oh, well, what are you going to do? I don't know. What else can we talk about? This guy just, these reviewers just suck. Like, they have a brand, they have to stick to it. And now that this is going to be like the downside of the vibe shift for all these people, is that everything is going to turn around and go more towards like welcoming of white male and being less anti-male and less anti-white, because that's where we are vibe shift wise.
Well,
they're not going to really have jobs anymore. Like, there's nothing more boring than sitting around watching people that are supposed to be haters liking something.
I wanted to cap off the very sloppy Alien Earth review and say I would give it a 7 of 10.
Yeah.
Seven of ten. It's at least has some interesting ideas. Unfortunately, a lot of it is just a pastiche of other stuff, which is fine. I like cyberpunk. Yeah. This is very, very obviously. You got like Ghost in the Shell. You've got Alita Battle Angel. You've got a very, very familiar theme. You've got a synthetic that has a human consciousness becoming something that's neither human nor synthetic nor AI. It's like some sort of amalgam. It's some sort of its own thing, which they explicitly lay out in the final episode. That is like a cyberpunk trope at this point. It's hard to watch cyberpunk shows and not see that sooner or later. I mean, hell, that is the conclusion to Ghost in the Shell. The original movie has the same conclusion with the central protagonist becoming like a different kind of...
People are going to start thinking that we don't know how to pronounce protagonist because we're doing this bit so we do that bit so casually. Now I was like, at least I say protagonist. You just say protagonist, like you don't
protagonist. So that's a great way to pronounce this. Like, I'm just accenting it differently. Technically you are pronouncing it correctly. It's just a unusual way to accent it. The emphasis is in the wrong place.
Oh, look. So I'm looking in the review. This guy, this reviewer tries to end before what I said about it's obvious that Boy Genius is not a self-made man. He's had a lot of help. And I alluded to what Kirsch said, and he's quoting Kirsch in here. A symptom of your ADHD is impulse control problems, he tells his boss. He's not wrong. Kirsch also gets a quick draw moment when so he's like, basically, yeah. He warns Boy Cavalier against acting rashly. So it's like, what are you talking about?
I like that part where it's revealed that this dude is also flying on Adderall 24/7.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, check it out.
And it's like, yeah, this proves your point wrong. Like, why is this guy so dumb? It's like, because people are dumb. Rich people are dumb. That's a great way to... You know what's great? Like, he like wants this story where everyone is clear cut and they're all super geniuses and they all are masters of not only their own motivations, but everyone else's. So everything just kind of works out. You have ultra badasses who are all like, you know, they're just really, you know, they have a lot of agency and they're very discerning and they can see like three steps ahead. And people aren't really like that for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. So the hyper competent.
And people who are hyper competent, they do have weaknesses, and a lot of it is wrapped up in like the Boy Genius is weakness is like he's already so rich, he thinks he can do anything, and he doesn't see the potential risks of what he's taken on. He just sees that he's, you know, taken something away from a competitor and could maybe use it as leverage against them, and it just, the entire thing falls apart. It's like, it's classic. I've been watching Black Rabbit with my wife. Like, one of the interesting things about it is, like, there's gangsters in Black Rabbit. These, you know, one of the characters owes a lot of money to some bookies, and they're coming, you know, one of the things is they're coming for blood. But you know what? They're kind of dumb. They fuck up. They make mistakes. They get outsmarted. Sometimes people are tougher than them. It's really, it's a lot more interesting than, like, you know, The Sopranos or something, or Godfather, with, like, somebody, you know, somebody's done a disrespect, and they just, like, these invincible Italian guys with long, you know, they just come out and they kill people because you've embarrassed the family, or you've done this. They're like, no, it's not cut and dry. It's like, okay, you have to send somebody out to do a job, and oops, they mess it up. And they don't mess it up in a weird, like, black swan, unlucky way. It's like they just do something incompetent. They sort of bumblingly accidentally kill someone that causes a big problem. They like, all right. Do you ever see True Romance? Remember True Romance? No.
I'm familiar with it, but I haven't watched it.
There's a scene where Patty, what's her face? Patricia, what is her name?
It's a Southern Gothic show, right?
No, True Romance was a Tarantino movie that got taken away from Tarantino. That's the movie with that Sicilians was spawned by niggers, like that famous Dennis Hopper scene. Where,
I haven't killed anybody since 1984.
Patricia
Arquette. Okay, there's a scene where Patricia Arquette is in the bathroom of the hotel, and a young Gandolfini is going to come and whack her. He has to kill her, James Gandolfini, and they have a knockdown drag out fight that wouldn't exist because she's just a little 115 pound girl with big tits. And she gets lucky and kills him instead of him killing her. All right. That is so Hollywood. And it's like, there's no reason for that to happen other than she got insanely lucky, like won the lottery and ended up outsmarting and almost accidentally killing this like big tough guy gangster. With this newer show where it's a little more realistic, it's like there's two guys chasing a girl and she runs into a bathroom. And they like, she manages to close the door before they get to her, and she's holding it shut, and they can't get through. And so one of them gets the idea to, like, shoulder check the door, pops the door open, but now instead of, like, the force of popping the door open, throws her into the tub where she hits her head and dies. So they don't get any of the information out of her that they need. Like, their job is now they've got a body on their hands, and they didn't get the chit chat that they needed to have, and their job is kind of fucked up. It wasn't like a lottery thing. It was just like, wow, that was fucking stupid. You morons. How did you fuck that up? You know, I think it's much more enjoyable and realistic that way. So it's like, yeah, stuff like that. Like, how would that happen? How would they just, I can just picture this guy like trying to pull that apart. Like, oh, how did she fall over so hard and fucking hit her head in the bathtub? I was like, I don't know. How many million people a day, like, die? Like, well, not million, but...
How did he accidentally shoot Marvin in the face? car hit a fucking bump, man. I ain't hit no fucking bump.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Dead nigga storage. So, I don't know.
I mean, that's like the similar scene that I'm thinking of. It's like, well, we rescued the inside guy. Mm. We're taking him back to the boss. Like, he's on our team. Back there having a conversation with him, accidentally blows head off. Great scene. Honestly, pretty good movie. Still holds up. I still like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Great. It's fun. It's fun because it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb and edgy and out there. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
and it's told out of order. I've always wondered, like, if you edited Pulp Fiction so it was in order, would you still like it?
Probably not.
Would just be like, I remember
this used to drive my mom crazy, and I'm like, it's very, you can follow along with it. It's just that they have, in the editing process, they put it in this particular order. You could rearrange it.
So he's calling his Timu Westworld in this review.
That's what
Westworld is. Timu Westworld. Like, they took, I guess in a way it's sort of the same bit where they're taking, like, all right, the machines do an uprising and take over. It's like, what else do you do with a plot that revolves around machine people? They discover that they're self-aware and they have souls, and so they overthrow their human masters. The twist there was like the Anthony Hopkins character actually facilitated the revolution. He wanted to set them free for whatever reason. And can't.
The existential question raised in Alien Earth is like, are they actually machines? Are they people? Are they some hybrid? Are they, what are they? What even are these things? They don't seem to know what they are.
So my computer's listening to me. It must be personalizing content, because look at this fucking, is this an ad, or is it, it says more from Forbes. Look what I've got. Ozempic vulva is leading some women to get surgery. So I just asked.
Man-made horrors beyond comprehension.
This is by Bruce Wiley.
I'm already imagining what they're talking about, and I don't like it.
Ozempic vulva is an unofficial term that women have been using to describe what they've been noticing in their genital areas after starting Ozempic or some other glucagon-like peptide 1 agonist. Peptide 1 agonist. you may have heard of Ozempic mouth, Ozempic tongue, or Ozempic penis. I have not heard of any of these Ozempic problems.
Oh, make it stop.
What I have is non-Ozempic beer gut. So I don't have any of these other problems. What's Ozempic penis, though? Does it get bigger? Is it engorged? Would it be exciting?
No, God.
Well, here's yet another body part term that is making the rounds of social media and make you go, oh my. It's Ozempic vulva. Why wouldn't it be like Ozempussy or something like that? Who need the Ozempussy thinned out? Women have been using this term to describe what they've been noticing in their genital areas. Yes, I know. That was in the fucking caption under the photograph of...
All right, I'm going to send this link to my wife.
Oh, my God. And it stirred up more discussions about getting labia puffing or labiaplasty to deal with these... I hate this fucking culture. Labiaplasty. The vulva is the external part of the female vagina. Thank you! All right, Zoomers, you got that? In case you didn't know. Since you don't like watching sex scenes in movies and you don't talk to girls, just know the vulva is the external part. It's not a Swedish sedan with a lot of safety features. It was ahead of its time. This is the proper anatomical terminology as opposed to the word vagine, which the vagine is the tube where the baby comes out. Yes, we know this. I feel like this person just wanted to flex how smart they were. They knew the difference between a vulva and a vagine. Wow, you're really smart, dude.
Has there ever been a piece of media or film where the bad guy drives a Volvo and then they shoot it from like that really low camera angle?
A Volvo?
Make it look intimidating. Yeah, that would be cool. Like, oh shit, the Volvo just rolled up in his driveway.
The Ozempic Volvo.
It's about to be whacked.
Imagine the Ozempic Volvo is just driving around. It's like, that's a big Volvo. Most of your vagina, if you have one, is usually not visible from the outside.
You think? Yes,
your vagina is the elastic muscular canal that connects the uterus to the outside.
Thank you, Forbes. High school anatomy lesson.
By contrast, your vulva consists of the openings to your vagina and urethra, the surrounding glands, your clitoris, and the inner and outer lips of your vagina, also known as your labia. Wow. So I've never been less interested in one before than I am right now. Your vulva also encompasses your mons pubis. The rounded area located in front of your pubic bones, where hair typically grows.
The fat pad, yes.
The fat pad.
That's what
How did you manage to make it worse? Meanwhile...
No, there's no way to make it better.
Meanwhile, GLP-1 agonists... It says GLP-1 agonists. I'm not making this up. I guess this is what kind of drug Ozempic is. Mm-hmm. It says GLP-1 agonist, which I choose to call GLP-1 agonists, have become... have become the athleisure wear of medications. What's athleisure wear? I guess that's quite a portmanteau. I'm not familiar with.
It's super like popular pants, but they're a little more durable. They've got like knee pads on them.
So GLP-1 agonists have become the athleisure wear of medications. Super popular and mentioned seemingly everywhere. While GLP-1 agonists began as diabetes medications. The tides of their use really change with the finding that these medications can cause significant weight loss. Speaking of are you going to tell me about the vulvas, or are you just going to give me like the, now we're going to have, we've had the high school anatomy lesson, and now we're going to have like the background of what a GLP-1 agonist is. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, we're going to get the mechanism of action for a GLP-1 agonist. Thanks. Is Forbes like just putting text out there?
Is this like, am I reading an AI? I'm just reading like an AI story. Okay, like, I'm skipping ahead.
You're going to have a certain number of words here, so just go wild with it.
So Ozempic bussy is likely a result of rapid weight loss. So what happens? Is it swelled or does it also become thin?
No, the opposite. It's very, very easy to... This is what I find gross about it. It's like, it's so obvious what's happening here. The labia majora are deflating.
That's terrible. So, Ozempic was probably not directly caused by the medication itself. Instead, the sagging skin is a potential consequence of the rapid weight and fat loss that can occur with a GLP-1 agonist. While fat may seem like the enemy when it comes to weight loss, fatty tissue actually serves various purposes, including serving as energy stores. I think you mean energy stores.
Oh my god, yeah, we know.
And giving your body different body parts, their volume and shape. That includes giving your vulva, especially your mons boobus and labia majora, the volume and shape that people know and love. Well, hopefully not a lot of people know and love the shape of your mons boobus. Your mom's boobus.
Yeah, you want it to look like a fully inflated inner tube, not a deflated one. Yes.
And when you use your GLP-1 agonist, you aren't offered a menu where you can select the locations that you want to lose versus spare fat. When the fat pads beneath your vulva rapidly shrink, they can be like Ant-Man in the movie Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh,
why is it always cape shit with these people?
They went there.
When he shrunk and then his hoodie became several sizes too large. That's because the... Thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Showa on therightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show, and if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, six-monthly, or annual subscription using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening. Hoodie didn't shrink with him at the same time, so now your vulva is like a hoodie, and you don't want to shrink while your hoodie stays the same size. Similarly, with rapid weight and fat pad loss, your skin may not be elastic enough to reduce in size and area as well, leading to sagging skin and soft tissues. The pelvic muscle weakness may be due indirectly. Is the pelvic muscle weakness now, too? To the way the GLP-1 agonists work. The GLP-1 agonist helps with weight loss in large part by suppressing your appetite and the food chatter that happens in your head. Oh, man.
The food chatter.
Food chatter. Fucking so hungry right now.
Welcome to Food Chat.
This morning, I decided I was hungry like a child, and I had toast. And on one piece of toast, I put peanut butter. On the other piece of toast, I put regular butter and strawberry jelly. I just ate those two separately. I decided I'm going to have an 8-year-old's breakfast right now because that's the kind of hungry I am. Naturally, an hour later, I'm starving again, or an hour and a half later, whatever it's been.
Is the food chatter different food items having a conversation, like the Slim Jims or talking to the Pringles? Like, how does this work?
I think it's the voices in your head discussing what kind of snack we can go find upstairs.
Oh, okay.
I imagine that's what it is.
I was thinking like anthropomorphized food items, like literally just having a conversation up there. So you might want to talk to a different kind of doctor about that.
Like in Mastodon's classic music video, Linoleum Knife.
Man, that makes me sad.
Oh, right.
That makes me very sad. I was listening to them yesterday. I was like, man, that guy's passed away now.
Yeah, I had them on yesterday.
I remember
as well.
The album came out. I remember when it came out. I thought it was super cool, and I was playing it in my car stereo all the time. And now that guy's dead.
Yeah, a lot of people are dead.
Now I feel
it's messed up.
Now I feel old. I feel old and sad.
Yeah, that'll stop one day, right?
Brent Hines.
One day it'll stop being old. I don't think it works that way. Well, at least I'm not going to have Ozempic vulva.
Yeah,
God, dryness and increased discharge. I don't want to read anymore.
All right, I think we're done with that article.
What you can do about... I want to know if we got a solution here. What you do about Ozempic vulva depends on how bothersome the symptoms may be. The only thing that's bothering you is the appearance. You've got to ask yourself how much your expectations of the shape down there are being shaped by other people's unrealistic expectations and unrealistic things like porn. Yes, that's another shocker. Porn can be unrealistic. Not is, but can be. Remember, what's considered attractive is very subjective and greatly shaped by what's been seen in entertainment and various types of media. So you're going to tell me what to do? I guess we're not going to do any... Just basically telling me not to do anything.
I mean, the problem with like Ozempic in general is that people don't have any muscle tone underneath what they're getting rid of, which makes it really gross looking whenever you lose weight that way. It's like, I don't know, maybe the traditional weight loss had something to it because you would do exercise.
And like not your eating, muscle tone. Stop having food chatter and maybe have like a lift some weights or go for a walk chatter. How about walk chatter?
That's what I'm like. If you're doing some sort of exercise, at least you're filling out your frame. If you just take Ozempic, you're going to look like a skeleton with extra tissue hanging off of it.
All right, sign me up with a weird.
I guess you could do. I guess you could do both, but then you would just be a bodybuilder.
And you'd have a weird Mons Pubis. Oh, somebody asked me a question about my eBay listing.
You didn't have to pay extra money to boost the post.
This guy offered me Randy Johnson's rookie card as a trade. The fuck am I gonna do with Randy Johnson's rookie card?
How about you trade me some money?
Yeah, I should tell him. Like, what if you went out with your Randy Johnson rookie card and you sold that to somebody, yeah, and then you came back with $4,000 and you bought the thing from me?
Yeah, just. How about you trade that for money first?
Like I've decided this big expensive piece of equipment in my audio rack isn't worth the price sitting there because I can just use software. So I've decided
what
to sell
it. What piece of equipment is it?
My Manly Massive Passive. I finally accepted that I don't need to own a thing that big and extravagant. So it's like, yeah, I'm gonna take that out of my audio rack. Maybe I'll bolt in a Randy Johnson rookie card instead. That'll be even more useless in my audio rack.
What is it? Like some kind of effects processing?
Yeah, it's a tube driven equalizer, stereo equalizer.
Oh, a tube driven one.
Yeah, it's very nice, but I don't use it nearly enough. And the things that I do use it for, I could accomplish with
either
far less expensive equipment or software.
Say, that is a very, very esoteric choice right there, a tube driven equalizer.
Well, it's back when I was having a lot of trouble getting the guitar to sound the way I wanted it to, and I read this big long like forum post from back in the day, and that's what this guy was using. So I was like, you know what, I'll find me a used one, and I bought one that's like from the year 2000, and yeah, it's still like whatever.
Where the hell did you find that? Did you have to go into like a curio shop that also has like a Chinese guy working there and he's like selling the Hellraiser box?
Nope, it was on Reverb. Ancient. No fun story. It was just on Reverb. I searched and searched until I found one that wasn't being sold by like a collector fag. It was like talking up the value of like just somebody else that was like, yeah, I've been using this thing for a while and I don't want it anymore.
You know? No, you want that equalizer? It's in the basement next to the Mogwai.
Yeah,
it's down there.
Yeah,
watch out for the lament configuration. It's sitting there on the curio cabinet as you go downstairs. Touch
yeah,
that
like,
thing.
But yeah, like the last thing Don't I need. That. The last thing I need. Oh, you know what? I think this is a prank. I think this is my friend. This guy's using like a funny picture of Lars Ulrich as his profile picture. So I'm pretty sure that's my buddy.
Just block that guy immediately and never be friends with him again.
No, what we should do is he should buy it from me. We should just ship it. Like, I should hit it with a sledgehammer and ship it, and then we'll blame UPS for it and get all the insurance money. Let's just pull an insurance scam, you know? Better than paying seller fees. Anyway, what else are we going to do here?
I don't know. We talked about Alien Earth. We talked about the problem of you want to do your cool cyberpunk show, but it has to be attached to the Alien franchise.
And I look at it the other way. I'm like, for once, here's the chance to have an Alien product that's not stupid.
Right? What else are you going to do with that franchise? What else are you going to do with it?
I don't know. I like the idea of I like the word you're telling me about Earth now. Because like Prometheus so like dropped the ball on like, here's a chance for you to tell me what's going on. And they blew that. They blew it so hard. They ruined the space jockey creation and turned it into a big guy in a funny looking suit. We got a little bit out of what the hell was the guy's name? Was it Wayland?
Mm-hmm.
With the old man?
So yeah, yeah, because they had like Guy, was it Guy Ritchie or somebody?
Not Guy Ritchie. It was like, Guy Pierce.
Pierce.
They got Guy Pierce and like a horrible like old face.
Yeah, yeah, because he's got like old fashioned latex makeup on, and it looks terrible.
Yeah,
it looks like a Halloween old man.
Completely blew it with that. And what was shocking to me about that is like even that movie, they turn it into a we're gonna kill a dozen people with weird alien cyborgs, not cyborgs, parasites and shit. They even turned that into like they couldn't do anything better than come up with a slasher film for that. And I was just kind of upset about that. So here you have a chance, like, hey, here's some here's a society. Here are like corporate interests. Here are the people. Here are the players, and here are some people that have like real lives and real motivation and real, you know, just they're yeah, just real people that you can care and you can care about them. They're not just gonna get. They're not just like gonna become like egg pouches hung on the wall of like the next alien nest. Like as cool as that is.
I mean, there were some legitimately cool things that happened in that show. I will give it that particularly. Like there were certain creature designs and certain deaths in there that were legitimately fucking cool that I've never seen before. That had some excellent moments in there. Like the death of a certain type of synthetic. Did not see that coming. That was pretty cool. The MVP of the show, Eyeball Thing. Greatest monster ever. Love that guy.
Yep. That's everybody's.
I love how the eyeball thing. When you first see him, it's like, well, that's kind of silly and goofy looking. Is this a joke? And then he kills somebody, and you're like, oh my fucking god.
Well, I liked how the eyeball monster. I like how the eyeball monster wanted to fight the xenomorph. I want to see the eyeball monster take over the xenomorph. Like an eyeball monster controlled xenomorph body. There you go. Although I think wouldn't he just die because you dig into the xenomorph's eyeball and all the acid blood gets you. That's a real problem that they came up with in the Alien universe, that it bleeds acid. That makes things rather inconvenient.
I remember when I was younger, as a teenager, watching those movies and stuff in the early days of the internet, the biggest speculation was this thing was like an intentionally engineered biological weapon.
Yeah.
And that's the reason it's got the acid blood, because of course something like that would be particularly nasty to deal with, as you see time and time again in the Alien movies. Like you kill it, now you got fucking high powered acid everywhere.
Well, they have completely canonized that it's biologically engineered by David. I think his name was David, and the stupid follow up. What is it, Alien Covenant?
Yeah, I don't need the backstory. I don't need. Several movies explaining to me how the xenomorph came into existence. We can just let your imagination run wild on that. I don't need everything explained in great detail. I don't need world building. I'm so tired of world building. We got to do the world building, the backstory, and all of this excessive plotting. I'm like, no, we don't. We've never needed to do that. You can just have a cool monster, and then you can be pretty mysterious. Same thing with the Predator. I don't need to go to the Predator home world. I don't need to know how their politics work or how they.
Wait, is there a Predator Senate?
The Republic.
The Predator Republic.
I don't need to see how their economy works. I don't need any of that. The Predator was just this cool-ass monster that showed up and it was hunting Arnold Schwarzenegger in a jungle. That's all I need.
Yeah, they did make one mistake with the Alien series that pissed me off. When one of them says they're just food, we're just food to them. I'm like, no, they're not. They just kill you for fun.
They're like a cat.
Like the aliens don't. Aliens don't eat you. They just kill you, and sometimes they turn you into egg sacs. Sometimes they turn you into, you know, part of the hive. So
yeah, they were trying to hit the audience over the head with that, the whole part of the story too, of like, well, see, to the synthetics, the aliens are not really an issue at all. They're just pets. Because the aliens ignore the synthetics, and they don't really see them as something to destroy.
Right.
It's like, okay, I see what you're doing here. They did this in the comic books like 30 years ago.
So,
which they did. They did that a lot in the comics. They even had a xenomorph synthetic, if you could imagine that. It was a synthetic that could talk in English, but it looked exactly like a xenomorph, and he liked to smoke cigars. Yeah, he was infiltrated. Like, but they had good art in this particular series, really great art. So you have these fantastic panels of a xenomorph like sitting in a chair smoking a cigar. It's like the entire design here, the entire concept was just so we could get this one panel in the comic book of him smoking a cigar.
It's fine with me. It works.
Yeah. I mean, it does work. It's a great piece of art. I got to find it. It's so good. Anyway, the fuck were we talking about?
I don't know. I was going to talk about James Comey for a second. Did you see that?
I'm getting what I voted for, and I'm like, I don't really give a shit about James Comey.
Well, James Comey has a sham indictment on his hands now. Let's see. I read that last night. Where is it? Former FBI indicted grand jury indicts longtime Trump target, former FBI director James Comey. The move came after the president intensified his pressure campaign on the Justice Department in recent days, publicly demanding that top officials prosecute Mr. Comey. So this was a federal grand jury. They'll indict a ham sandwich. And this was still proved to be very difficult task. He had to get his own lady on the case to do the indictment over the recommendations to not indict by more experienced prosecutors, from what I read.
He had to get his Mary Sue involved.
Yes, he had to get a Mary Sue. Mr. Comey was indicted on one count of making a false statement and one count of obstruction of a congressional proceeding in connection with his testimony before a Senate committee in September 2020. I'm going to imagine that this is just going to be another Trump circus that doesn't go anywhere. I doubt he's going to get convicted of anything. Let's see. I'm just trying to get... Okay. The indictment filed in Alexandria, Virginia, came over the objection of career prosecutors in the Eastern District of Virginia, so this would be the deep state, they recommended not prosecuting, who found insufficient evidence to support charges but were overruled by Lindsey Halligan, a Trump loyalist handpicked by the president to run the office a few days ago. So, I mean, it's the kind of thing normally I like, but this administration never uses this kind of stuff for anything useful or purposeful, mm-hmm. or for the improvement of the country. Like, you're going to do a blatant, like, despotic, dictatorial act to flex how powerful you are, but it's always for something stupid.
And well, that just shows you the regression of American politics. Like, we are now moving back to the point, because this was a thing that used to be common, mm-hmm. particularly, like, in England. Is like, the current power structure is now going to start prosecuting the power structure before them.
Sure.
Like, we're just going to go back and forth. Whoever is in charge goes after who was in charge 4 years ago. I mean, I guess, like, to be fair,
you know,
Trump didn't start this, you know, like the Democrats.
Well, the 2016, like Russia, whatever angle.
Yeah.
That was retarded and blatantly stupid.
It was retarded.
And so it's like, you'd like to see, you know, if this guy wasn't such a buffoon, like, I wouldn't mind, but it's like, it's also, why isn't more happening with deportations? Why isn't more happening with all these other issues? Like, why is everything so expensive still? Literally nothing in this country is going as promised. Nothing. Like, you're getting nothing out of this. Like, no matter what you look, unless you're an Indian who was looking to Trump to bring more of your people in to do more work, like, you're not getting anything you wanted. Like, the only people that are getting what they wanted are the immigrants that heard his messaging on more immigration, we need people, being like, I'm one of the people you need, Mr. Trump, and you are granted entry now. Like, you have a, you may not be able to get an H-1B to do it, but you can get an L-1, you can get an O, you can get an Ozempic one, whatever the hell it is, and you can get in this country. But it's like, if you thought, like, you're gonna be able to afford gasoline, electricity, groceries, just whatever, it's all skyrocketing, it's all through the roof, and it's no, and there's no reason to think anything's coming down. It's all worse because of the tariff stuff, which is a massive tax increase. That's all it's amounted to, because the tariffs were not erected in order to protect any industry that's going on here. They're erected to raise money for the Treasury to pay back its fake and gay national debt that no one really cares about. So what do we got here? National Security Presidential Memorandum. Okay, so this is going to be... The president signs a national security presidential memo establishing a comprehensive strategy to investigate, disrupt, and dismantle all stages of organized political violence and direct... It's just basically...
Lastly, sir, this...
So it's just, we're doing nothing. This is a thing to do nothing.
This is a presidential memorandum on countering domestic terrorism and organized political violence. In recent weeks, months, and years, we've seen a tremendous upsurge in some highly visible, but also other acts of domestic terrorism and organized political violence being perpetrated by radical, politically motivated groups all over the country. What this presidential memorandum will do is set off an administration-wide response to that, ranging from the Joint Terrorism Task Forces to other components of the Department of Justice to the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Treasury. We're looking at interdicting these groups, preventing them from performing acts of violence, and also looking at sources of organization and funding and support that prop them up and allow them to do the acts that, they have been doing.
We're looking at the funders of a lot of these groups. And
what groups?
You know, when you see the signs, and they're all beautiful signs made professionally, these aren't your protesters that make the sign in their basement late in the evening because they really believe it. These are anarchists and agitators, professional anarchists and agitators, and they get hired by wealthy people, some of whom I know, I guess, you know, I probably know them. And you wouldn't know it. You're at dinner with them, everything's nice, and then you find out that they funded millions of dollars to these lunatics.
Professional anarchist.
So
they protesters went to Kinko's the night before, and this man finds that hard to believe.
Well, we have seen, but it's like he's conflating different things, right? Like Tyler,
he's doing the boomer thing of like, how could they possibly be organized to print out a sign before they did a protest? How did you do that?
Right, but
do
he's
you
trying
have a sign
to. Right, like you're allowed to do that. So he's conflating. Like the most recent one I remember was they were protesting Caleb Maupin. No, what's his name? The guy that kneeled on George Floyd. Not Caleb Maupin.
Derek Chauvin.
It also has an AU in there.
They really should just let that asshole out of jail.
Yeah. Well, the last I remember, I don't remember if it was his verdict or his sentencing or something. There was a protest that erupted outside of the courthouse or whatever. And I remember the video of somebody opens up a Ryder truck and it's stacked to the fucking ceiling with, you know, signs. And they're handing out their, hi, hope you're enjoying the show. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail. They're picket signs for this protest. And it's like, okay.
So Patriot Front was there, okay.
Well, no, it's Patriot Front. Like a bunch of guys would jump out and they would be there. They would be there not to protest whatever issue is happening, but just to try to get some like new recruits out of it. But no, they had all these signs. So it's like, okay, so somebody clearly like funded that and organized that so that there would be signage for people to hold at this protest. And he's trying to like this guy's talking about whoever, I don't know who's reading these. I don't know who's reading this off to him. I don't know what White House official that is.
Yeah, but that's
but he's reading off, like, he's talking about political violence. Like, that's not an act of political violence. It's annoying. It's an act of, like, you know, libtards doing fucking.
If you're part of a group and you decide you want to do a protest, it stands to reason you're going to pull your money together, you're going to print your signs, maybe you might even rent a Ryder truck.
Maybe.
Which are available in the United States. You can go rent yourself a Ryder truck, put your signs in there, drive it to the venue.
Yeah.
It's just weird to me that this is like this right-wing boomer thing of not understanding at all how a protest works and seeing it and thinking it's like some sort of devil magic.
It's just not illegal.
How did they possibly do it?
If you have some kind of benefactor group that's buying you these signs, like, it's okay. What they're trying to do is they're trying to create the content for the dumb MAGA person online where you're saying, like, you're conflating that protest funding with Tyler Robinson shooting at Charlie Kirk, which is just not something that was funded by anybody, I don't think. Like, none of these acts of violence that have gone on. You know what an act of violence that you could be counter is, like, you know, people have been talking about this. Like, how many fucking trannies have been doing mass shooting in this country the last few years? Here's president coded anti-tranny. What are you doing about trans people? Why aren't you taking guns away from trans people? Why aren't you doing anything about, like, you know, do some kind of despotism where you, like, you don't consult the CDC or anybody or anything health related. You just bypass the scientific establishment. And you bypass whatever agencies are out there. And you just say, like, you know, we're going to take trans and lock them up. We're going to take this political identity and we're going to say, all right, you're mentally ill and we're going to get you help, you know, and just start forcibly committing people. Where's that? Like, where's that? Like, where's something cool like that? Where's something useful like that? But no, we're gonna have a bare bones, as the New York Times, a bare bones indictment of James Comey over, admittedly, a pretty big political slight from several years ago. But it's just like, it's an empty flex that means nothing. And we're gonna totally, surely, we're gonna investigate who's printing out the signs for leftist protesters on the show, and we're gonna pretend that that is going to lead to preventing lone wolf weirdo assassinations by Antifa people and trannies. Like, no, you're not. It's just entirely, it's entirely online content, and it sucks. It's content I don't want to watch. I don't care for it. But that's just
it
me.
Is funny to see the shoe on the other foot here with Republicans, like, sort of scratching their heads as to what to do about gun violence. Like, well, you can't do anything about it.
This not even trying. They're doing nothing about it. Like, I saw, Hegseth has called some massive, like, meeting of military brass from around the world. They're all flying. And it's like somebody was putting out there, like, this is probably some kind of getting trannies out of the military policy, and they're looking for people that are, you know, looking to trip people up that aren't good with that. It's like, well, we don't have a problem. It's like, man, trannies in the military. It's like, we have a problem with trannies, like, at large in society in general. Like, I don't care about fuck the military. I don't care what you do with the military. Send all the trannies to the military. At least they get to shoot at things if they're in the military that aren't children, you know? But nothing, not like that's always been like the weakest thing that Republicans do. I was like, we're going to find a way. It's like, oh, here's this awful societal culture war issue going on. We're going to make sure that the military isn't doing it. And we're going to make sure that like colleges, public colleges can't get funding if they're doing it. It's like, oh, so you've done literally nothing. You know, like those are two very narrow, those are very narrow scopes of places where you can take action that don't affect the average person's life in any way, shape, or form. So
mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. That's what we're going to do. It's like, oh, so you're not going to do anything real. You know? No, we'll indict James Comey for no reason.
It's so funny. What could you actually do in America if you wanted to put a dent in gun violence without significantly changing the interpretation of the Second Amendment? Like you would have to really do a massive overhaul of how you think about the Second Amendment to do anything.
I can think of one thing already. I mean, they already have, like, there's already red flag laws all over the place. Use your president, you know, sign a memo that, like, red flag, you're immediately red flag trans people. Or in trans, you know, immediately. Right. Just that's a mental health thing. Just and it's been, what, how many months in this administration are we in? 9? That never
you
ran
can reclassify in. That as a mental illness. You'd have to direct the DSM people to do it for you. But
you know, if the president can tweet and declare that Antifa are terrorists, which is a meaningless thing. It's just, it's like, I have a an executive order that declares my opinion that Antifa are terrorists. Okay, how about you do one that's like, and it's my opinion that being a tranny is a mental illness. Unfortunately, that doesn't work because the Republican position is like, just leave them alone until they're 18 until they want to be trannies. So it just doesn't work. But
I mean, you could mobilize your base against trannies. You could absolutely do that. You could do that with tweet.
But like, they don't want to get...
You could just tweet, it's open season on drones. Oh, and everybody would clap like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Oh, your tweet's right over there. I cannot believe people were organized enough to print off signs before protest. That's pretty funny. There's McNabb right under that video. So, oh no, not Ozempic Volvo. We're done with Ozempic Volvo. Where did my, there was another story, another bit of this story about James Comey I wanted to get out there. The bare bones 2-page document was signed only by Ms. Halligan. So Ms. Halligan, this is this was Lindsey Halligan, a Trump loyalist handpicked by the president to run the office a few days ago of, you know, the Eastern District of Virginia. So the indictment was only signed by her. A former defense lawyer for Mr. Trump, who personally presented the case to the jury, despite her lack of any previous prosecutorial experience. All right, I'm going to cry about it. Typically, such filings are also endorsed by career prosecutors who have gathered the evidence in the case. Court records indicate that Ms. Halligan also tried to get the grand jury to indict Comey on a second false statement charge, and that was rejected. So, yeah, basically, you can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich, but not James Comey. Not without, you need somebody else to like be pushing the ham sandwich. You need a political appointee that that's a former defense attorney and associate of yours to like do your dirty work for you, which is great. I mean, do it, whatever.
Are we gonna actually have like a back and forth here where the Republicans lose power in the next set of elections and Democrats are charged? They go around prosecuting all the Republicans and then we go back and forth like this. Like, how's this gonna work? Is that gonna be the stage going forward? Is we just play this game?
I assume that we're gonna have the right wing vibe shift until Israel is secure or feels secure that it can go back to, then we can go back to all the anti-white, because I mean, basically the stage is already set for America. It's done. It's like the boomers are going to be. I can't remember who said it. Someone said like the boomer die off is going to be like a bankruptcy. It's like it's going to start slowly and then be all at once. And suddenly you're going to look around like, where do white people at? It's like, oh, all those people that we hated for driving Corvettes and Harley Davidsons and for going really slow. Like, oh my god, I got trapped by an amateur the other day that was driving a motorhome, you know, in some kind of RV and towing their car off the back. Like there was, I was so upset. It was the RV. Then behind him was a professional trucker. It was hauling, looked like he was hauling junk cars somewhere. And then me. And this poor trucker had to keep slamming on his brakes to keep up with how slow the stupid boomer in the RV was going. So annoying. But anyway, we have to make like boomer miss me yet stickers one day. Cause that's where we're going to be. Cause soon when they're all gone, when they'll start to go, we'll be like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, don't worry. Most of the Republicans are brown now. So we'll be fine as long as there's Republicans. Yeah. Politics is race war, remember?
I can imagine this, the sticker now. It's like the boomer. He's getting out of his convertible Corvette. He's got on his white Reeboks. Miss me yet?
Oh, dude. I saw an epic boomer at the Bruce Dickinson show. It was awesome. It was just like full head of white hair. He was skinny. He wasn't a big fat slob. He was wearing a t-shirt of somebody's like gutter installation company or like siding company. So I don't know if it was his own company. He's just, I will go out and advertise. And then he was wearing like some khaki shorts and he had on the bright white with like, you know, silver metallics, you know, foily trim, like Skechers, like the super comfortable, like Skechers New Balance, like white sneakers.
I want to get a set so bad.
And he was just rocking out to Bruce Dickinson. It's like, yeah, that's what it's all about right there. He's one of Bruce's contemporaries. Bruce just turned 68 years old, I believe. So
you got the socks that are like halfway up his fucking calves.
No, he had tasteful like ankle socks on. So the socks were only slightly higher than the white sneakers, but the white sneakers.
I am surprised.
Yeah.
So that's such a shock.
Epic boomer.
And I want to do that. Like it's actually memed as like the Corvette driver uniform where you have like the white Reeboks. You got the socks are like halfway up to your knees. Then you have like on maybe some khaki shorts and your t-shirt, a golf polo usually.
Yeah.
And then the obligatory Corvette hat. That's like the boomer uniform.
Wrap your ass in fiberglass. Remember they used to sell it. They used to sell underpants that said that. The Corvette magazine. Wrap your ass in fiberglass.
That's like back when fiberglass was a space age material.
Yeah. Well, back when it was like, that was the only the Corvette was fiberglass. And the meme was like, oh, you like get a new fender bender and it's totaled. Because no one can afford to like make you a new quarter panel out of fiberglass. You're fucked.
Well, what you do is you unbolt it and just put another one on there. That's actually the fun thing about it. It's like, it's like a Lego car.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just take a piece off. This brick is broken. I got to put another brick on there.
All right. Well, shit. We're already at 90 minutes. Fuck, I forgot. I fucked up. We got to do armreg.co.uk. Armreg.co.uk. TRS1 is the discount code for 50% off. They publish the Holocaust Encyclopedia and all the Holocaust handbooks and various other works that you can get your hands on. You can follow them on Twitter at armreg_official. That's ARMREG is how you spell armreg. So check them out. They're sponsors of the program and also good friends. I'm looking on Twitter to see what they're pushing today. These pushes at Armreg, what are they pushing? I shouldn't do this. Holocaust Encyclopedia. Auschwitz engineers in Moscow. After the war, the Soviets arrested four leading engineers of the Topf Company. Among other things, they had planned and supervised the construction of the Auschwitz cremation furnaces and the ventilation systems of the rooms said to have served as homicidal gas chambers. Between 46 and 48, Soviet officials conducted numerous interrogations with them. This work analyzed them by putting them into the context of the vast documentation on these and related facilities. The appendix contains all translated interrogation protocols. I've never heard of that one. That sounds interesting, since a lot of Holocaust propaganda is Soviet internal propaganda. So we'll see. All right, so you got some Hegseth junk there. We'll play that after. Let's take our little break here.
Yeah, I'm just queuing up stuff.
Just set them up, and we'll knock them down. We'll be back.
We're winning. Everybody's winning.
I'm winning. I'm gonna go have lunch. Be right back.
The Death Panel will be right back after this riff. On the Daily Show-Up.